Today we have the opportunity to celebrate five young people saying, "This is now my faith," as we celebrate junior high confirmation this second Sunday of the Easter. Our text for today is from our first reading from Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." This is our text. So what do I get to tell my junior high confirmands that had to endure my lessons for those last 2 years? What is confirmation? Confirmation is nothing more than the renewal of those baptismal vows. Is saying, "Yes, I believe." If I could sum up confirmation with one word, it's a word you're just dying to hear: responsibility. Actually, you're probably dying to hear one different word, and that is independence. But in order for you to have independence, you have to have responsibility. And actually, independence doesn't work with the sermon either. So we'll just stick with responsibility. Responsibility, a certain responsibility is now being upon you. Instead of your parents saying you will go to church and forcing you, coercing, twisting arms, bribery, whatever it took, now you are going to say, "Mom, Dad, let's go to church." Maybe, maybe not. But this is what confirmation is all about. You are now taking the responsibility to say, "This is my faith. This is what I believe. It's important to me. And this is what I will do." This is how it fits in with our text for today. We must obey God rather than men. Peter is saying these words under the threat of persecution. He's saying these words, and now we have to unpack one of these words. The word obey. You know, being a typical parent and being a typical husband, you know, I start thinking of the word obey. And what's the first thought that comes into my mind? The first thought that comes into my mind is me sitting there on the couch with my wife and my kids, attending to every single one of my needs, since, you know, the wives are supposed to obey husbands and children are supposed to obey their mom and dad. That line of thought was completely shattered when I looked into the original Greek and found out that is not the intended use of the word obey. Obey here basically means sort of an influence, of sort of like a following. Maybe a good way for me to describe it to some eighth graders here who are being confirmed is peer pressure. Do you ever succumb to peer pressure? If everyone else has to have something, does that mean you have to have it? If everyone else has an Apple iPod, does that mean you have to have an Apple iPod? Okay, you may not want to nod your heads, but I bet your parents are probably sitting there going, oh yeah, I've heard this. So basically, who is going to influence you? And that's going to be the key here. Peter in our text for today is saying, we would rather be influenced by God rather than men. To have good peer pressure coming from God and His Word than having the bad peer pressures coming from the world around you. So confirmation, very similar to this, is now saying, this is now my faith. And my faith basically means I'm now going to be influenced by God more than I'm going to be influenced by men. And notice I say the word more than. Because as Christians, we're not taken out of this world. As Christians, now that you're going to be confirmed, it doesn't mean you're going to go to your own private cave and take your Bible and your Lutheran service book, and that's all you're going to read all day, and you're going to fast 6 days a week. No, this isn't what Christianity is all about. We live in this world, and because we are in this world, yes, we can expect this world to have some, notice, some influence upon us. The majority of our influence, however, comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is what Peter is getting to. So now, how does this apply to you guys for today? As Christians, now saying this is now my faith, that means on Sunday morning at around 8 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock, I'll set the alarm clock so I can wake up early and wake up Mom and Dad and say, "Guess what? Take me to church because I'm not old enough to drive yet." Isn't that great? Okay, there's also some other aspects to this. You see, we live in a world where there's that temptation to do things for themselves instead of for other people. We live in a world where we have the phrase, well, everyone else is doing it, Mom and Dad, why can't I? And the answer, going back to our text, we must be influenced by God rather than men. And what are some of these things that, you know, everyone else is doing that as Christians we should probably avoid? Well, first of all, let me pick some of the easy ones and then move to some of the harder ones. Actually, they're all hard. First of all, how many of you, referring to my junior hires, you know, you have those songs that you play on your computers, those MP3 players, whether you want to call them iPod or not. And then how many of the songs do you have are songs that you've paid for versus that you have somehow acquired without paying? Okay, seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. Does that also imply to music and music piracy? And the answer is yes, it does. But it's only 99 cents and no one's really going to miss it. Besides, they all make millions of dollars anyhow. That's not the point. Piracy is still piracy. And as Christians, yes, we're supposed to pay for the music we are listening to on our MP3 players. Unless, of course, it comes free. Free from the manufacturer, that is. Another thing is, how about our computers? How much legitimate software do we have on our computers versus pirated software? Again, we might be saying, well, Bill Gates is a multi-billionaire, so what is he? Is he going to miss a few dollars here and there? Again, that's not the point. Everyone else is doing it? Again, that's not the point. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal. That's the point. To be influenced by God basically says, I'm going to listen to what God's word says. I'm going to be content with how God has blessed me. And God has indeed blessed us with very much. Now let me pick on something that you're probably not struggling with now, but maybe a little bit later on in life. How about living together before you get married? Is that something that God wants you to do? Again, the answer is no. God wants you to what? To enter into marriage in an appropriate and respectful way. Another aspect that our society sometimes has a little bit of struggles with, and that's the value of life. Unfortunately, in today's world, we devalue life so quickly. We enter into wars and conflicts where human beings are expendable. When people get older, like when your mom and dad get older, are you going to value their life still in older age? Or are you going to sit there and say, well, Mom and Dad, now that you're that age, whatever that age may be, I'm going to do my own thing. Your life isn't that much important. Or likewise, when life begins at conception, is that not value? From God's point of view, it is. So God is basically saying a little bit of a different message than the world is listening to. And let me sort of sum up God's message with one word. It's not responsibility, that was confirmation. The one word from God's message is love. Basically broken down two ways. You love God above all things and you love others. You see, God's message is trying to get you away from selfish thinking to realize that you live in a world. You live in a community. Not only do we have a worshiping community here at Trinity, we have the West Chicago area community that we participate in. And the love takes our focus, instead of being selfish with our focus, helps us to look beyond ourselves to a world around us. Listening to God and being influenced by Him, we pick up the same love that He has for us. Christ Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole entire world. God loves the whole world. God is not selfish with His love. He is not selfish with His blessings, but He gives to all. Likewise, as Christians, now saying, this is my faith, we give to all. We call this bearing fruit. And we talk about how good works are the necessary fruit that flows from faith. You are now saying this is your faith? Great. Now, who are you being influenced by and what are you doing regarding it? As Christians, we do good. We bear that Christian fruit. We share that love, that joy, that peace that comes from God through us to other people. Good works are the necessary fruits that flow from this faith. Today, you're saying, this is my faith. This is what I believe and trust it. I believe and trust what Christ has communicated to us through his word. As a result, you are now going to be influenced. As Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. And now comes the good news. The good news is that as we trust in God, we receive the benefits of God. The forgiveness of sins, the eternal life that God provides. There are going to be some times in our lives where we are going to be a little bit more influenced by men than by God. Some of you know, because I've talked about this before, is that when I'm on the expressway and I'm driving, I sometimes succumb to peer pressure. If the average speed is 75, you might find my speedometer to be more on the side of man than on the side of God, which is saying speed limit 55. Yes, we live in a world where we have these struggles and these tensions, but we also live with a very loving God who sits there and says, yes, I love you. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I still cherish you, even though you'd rather be influenced by man than by God. Now, this isn't an excuse, but this is the love and mercy that comes from God, for which we are thankful. We are thankful that love and mercy is unconditional. We are thankful that God gives it to us freely. And this is why we say we'd rather be influenced by God. We'd rather be connected to something that's pure, without any strings attached. We'd rather be connected to someone who is all giving instead of people who are just all taking. So we are connecting ourselves today to God, saying, this is what I believe. I choose to be connected because of God's grace is not the world's view. The world's view is saying, let's do things for myself. God's view is saying, let's love everyone, even our enemies. So this day, as we celebrate the second Sunday of Easter, we rejoice that God has given us his word. He has given us his love. He has given us his forgiveness. We also rejoice that 5 young people have survived 2 years of Pastor Bola's confirmation instruction class, and they are alive to tell about it and say, this is my faith. This is a good thing. Also to the parents and the other adults who are here today, pray for these kids. You understand, as you also have been through many trials and tribulations, of what life is going to bring to these little ones who are now becoming older. So we ask the Lord to continue to send his Holy Spirit upon them, to give them grace, wisdom, and understanding. We ask the Holy Spirit to continue to be upon them, to continue to draw them back to God, because they're going to face a lot of temptation from the world around us. We ask the Holy Spirit to be with them each and every day, as God is with us each and every day. And so we close with our text. We must obey God rather than men. God has indeed given us this opportunity to listen to him and to be part of him. So we rejoice that God has called us into this beautiful relationship, a relationship that will last forever and ever. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.